الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, the verse that I just recited of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of something very important in all our lives. We have countless amounts of benefactions and gifts, ni'mats from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. Countless. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif also, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. But if you want to even enumerate and count the favors of Allah, the benefactions and gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to encompass all. You will not be able to cover all and count all. Impossible. Whether it's the gift of health, today we are so concerned about it, which is something important we should be concerned. Whether it be in the time of the pandemic, whether it be in normal times, gift of health, what a great gift. The gift of Iman, the gift of Islam, the gift of Quran Sharif, the gift of being the followers and ummatis of Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like that, if I continue, I won't end. The list doesn't end. If I just have to speak about this topic itself, I can continue for hours without end about the benefactions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. As Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, la tuhsuha. We'll never be able to enumerate and encapsulate all the favors and ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest ni'mat, the greatest benefaction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred upon all of us, given all of us, is this the great gift, priceless gift of Iman and of Islam. We all claim, mashallah, we follow Islam, we are Muslims, we accept Islam as our religion, etc. But what we need to ask ourselves, that do we really understand and truly know what is it to be a Muslim? Many people have just merely limited Islam to just being on a Friday. I'm just a Muslim when on a Friday, in the month of fasting, Ramadan, at some other occasion, somebody passed away, there's some janazah, some mayyit, at that time, we dress, we act, we talk like a Muslim. And just limited to time, to actions, to practices. This is the most unfortunate thing that we've done today. What we all have to understand that Islam is not a unilateral religion. It is a collateral religion. What I mean by this, by way of explanation, that Islam, we say we are Muslim, we accept Islam as our religion. Islam is not only restricted to certain categories of people, certain categories of actions, certain timings in our life. Rather, Islam is something that should be in our lives in every facet and every walk of our lives. How many times, I myself, I'm a witness to this, where brother will tell us, somebody will tell us, Mufti Sahib, do not talk to me about Islam in my business. My own ears have heard it. We don't sit on a mimbar and shoot from our hips and make up fairy tales and stories. We don't do that. We speak in what is factual and what is the reality, what happens today. The brother tells me, not one time, few times people have said this. Don't talk to me about Islam in my business. Don't talk to me about Islam in my charity. Don't talk to me about Islam in my marriage. Very famous. Don't talk to me about Islam in my divorce. Very hot topic. Divorce and marriage. Don't talk to me about Islam there. How many have told us this? Brothers, this has become, we say pandemic. COVID-19 pandemic. There are many, many spiritual pandemics that we are experiencing all the time. When it comes to our Islam, our deen, our religion, several pandemics we are experiencing all the time. Whether it be, as I said, marriage, divorce. If I just have to speak about this, the entire time will be gone. It will be completed. Another department that people want to exclude Islam from. There's so many departments, even if I have to talk about just the departments, the time will be over. Another very important aspect of our lives that we've excluded Islam is about our world's inheritance and estates. So many janazas take place all the time. Malakul Maut, the angel of death, is someone that's not sleeping. Whatever is his duty, he's carrying it out how it's supposed to. When, how, nobody knows when the janazah will take place. Those of us have heard it so many times. In the language of Urdu, even in Arabic too, but in Urdu, Ajeeb hai zindagi ka visa. Na ma'lumul mi'ad, na qabil extension. How beautifully said, that very strange is that visa of life. Very strange is that visa of life. Duration unknown and non-extendable. It's a visa. Normally when you get a visa, it's 7 days, 30 days, 90 days. We know the duration of the visa. The visa of life, we don't know the duration. Second, non-extendable. We know we can extend our visa at certain times, or most of the time, almost all the time, when there's a need. But this visa of life, I give this example always, we have this tumbler, a container, a tumbler. Can we add to it in every way? Any way, we cannot. Neither above, neither on the side, neither at the bottom. That's our life. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Never. Allah used the word in Arabic. Those of us, mashallah, Mufti Bakr Sahib, he's teaching Arabic here. We should take out time and go and learn this beautiful language. We'll understand the Quran Sharif more. In Jannat, we'll be talking the language of Arabic also. And here in this world, we can practice on it, learn it. Something so important. Allah Ta'ala used in the Quran Sharif, وَلَيْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا. Allah used the word lan. It is emphasis, negative emphasis. Never Allah will extend and delay the life of a person when the time is up. So Malakul Maut, the angel of death, is working all the time. He doesn't need an excuse to take a person's life. Fiza is over, the life is over, time is up. But we have to be ready for it all the time, especially when it comes to our wills, and is the will made out correctly, our estate will be distributed. Of utmost importance. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he has termed this knowledge of inheritance to be nisful ilm. تعلموا الفرائض وعلموها الناس فإنها نصف العلم. He's instructed us, go and learn, all of us, not the Maulana, not the Sheikh, not the Mufti, not the Imam, every single person. This is what we've forgotten, that we also have to go and learn, go and find out where are the people, ask them, request them. There are classes taking place certain times in a year, or sometimes all the time in certain places. It is our duty to go and learn. تَعَلَّمُ الْفَرَائِضُ. Go and learn the distribution of estate Islamically. The shares. What you're supposed to do. What you're not supposed to do. How you're supposed to make your will out. Your trust deed that is made out. We know for what reason it is made generally. Almost all the time. For what reason it is done. Learn how to make it. Are any clauses in there against the law of Allah in the Quran Sharif and the teachings of Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Find out. تَعَلَّمُ الْفَرَائِضُ وَعَلِّمُهَا النَّاسِ. Learn it and teach it. فَإِنَّهَا نِصْفُ الْعِلْمِ. That is half of Islamic education, half of Islamic ilm and knowledge is the laws of inheritance, wills and estates. It's our duty. What we have done today, what I was speaking about, I just digress just to the importance of this. What we have done, we've excluded it there also. Person is gone in his grave, he wants to dictate from there. When I die, this is what needs to be done. Brothers, we are allowed to certain extent. We are allowed to certain extent to give certain directives, etc. Time is so limited, plus it can create confusion. We don't go into the details in the Jummah Bayah. But how to make it our will? How are estates supposed to be distributed? What the executor is supposed to do, not supposed to do? Who's supposed to be the executor? And like that, there's so many laws. We're supposed to be learning it. We're supposed to be teaching it to people. We're supposed to be practicing upon it. So again, what I was saying from the beginning till now, this is another department where we have excluded Islam. And like that, the list continues. How many times we'll find we deal with this almost every day, second day. People are passing away. So many estates to distribute. Obviously, we do it from the side of our side for free of charge, for the sake of the service to community. Hours go in it, sometimes days, months, meetings upon meetings take place. And we find people still cannot understand this aspect, that our will, estate distribution, inheritance, it is something compulsory. I repeat, it is something compulsory. That we have to do it the Islamic correct way. Respected brothers, I'm sitting on this minbar, it's not my law. It's a law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Divine revelation from Allah. In the Quran Sharif, Allah has mentioned so many laws about inheritance and estate. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken and given so much of details about it also. So let us make sure that this also is covered in us being true Muslims. And like that, so many other departments, every facet and walk of our life, They have to be such that they are in pursuant, congruent, in keeping to the teachings of Quran and Quran and Hadith. Allah says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkulu fi silmi kafa. That's the verse I recited at the beginning. That, oh, you have iman, you have faith, you have belief, but enter into Islam, into this beautiful religion, complete, perfect, beautiful religion. Enter into it. Kafa. Completely. Do not departmentalize and exclude and do what you want. What suits you, you act like a Muslim. But what doesn't suit you, you exclude. That was for the camel ages. How many times we hear this? These things were for camel ages. These for the Sahaba. These for the pious people. Every single Muslim, man or woman, this is the law for that. For all of us. That every aspect of our life, our business, our inheritance, our charities, our acts of worship, our every aspect has to be in conformity to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ulama, the scholars have explained that generally there are five aspects in a Muslim's life that have to be in conformity to what Allah Ta'ala said and Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First being aqaid, our beliefs. Let us check, let us refresh, let us always ensure that our beliefs and our aqaid are in conformity to what Allah Ta'ala said and Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the foundation. We know if the foundation is weak, what happens to the structure after that? So one is our beliefs. Beliefs are of utmost importance. Second, there's so much to be spoken just on this topic also, but we're just touching on it. Second being our ibadat, our acts of worship and prayers. Where we do the act and the intention is we want thawab and reward and Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Whether it's our salah and namaz, our salah, we're reading namaz, we're reading 5 times a day, which is compulsory upon everyone. Whether it's our acts of charity, our zakat, our lillah, sadaqah. Whether it's our fasting in the month of Ramadan, and like that any time in the year, all the time. And the list doesn't end. Acts of worship. These also have to be done with the right intention, the correct way, the proper manner, how we supposed to do it as a Muslim. Not as we wish. Not as how we wish. So that's the second aspect. Third, mu'amalat. Our dealings. Any form of dealings. Whether it's just our buying and selling. Whether it is, as I mentioned earlier, inheritance, wills, estates. Our trust deeds. Our partnerships. As they always say, partnership is that ship that very seldom sails, always sinks. It's something that hardly we find trustworthiness in today's times. Father to son, son to father, siblings, brother to sister, sister to brother. Like that, whether it's blood relation, whether it's in-laws, or the outlaws, whether it's any relationship, we find in mu'amalat and dealings. In Urdu you say, those days you say zaban, in Arabic you say lisan, where you gave your commitment. And today, where is the commitment of people today? Even if you give it in writing today. That 7 days doesn't come, that 30 days doesn't come, that 60 days doesn't come. And when the creditor has to ask the debtor, where's my payment? Famous reply, I'm not dying. I'm not running away. I didn't do you down. Why are you hounding me? And things of that kind. Mu'amalat, they are such that we have to keep it all in conformity to what Allah Ta'ala said and Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I said earlier in the talk, in the introduction, so many times I myself, I'm a witness to this myself. Where people have told me, don't talk to me about Islam in my business. Brothers, what kind of Muslims can we be where we excluding Islam from something which is halal and haram? Are we wanting to feed ourselves haram? Are we wanting our ibadat not to be accepted? Are we wanting our du'as and supplication prayers not to be accepted? That is where we exclude it. We exclude Islam from our business transactions. We won't know what is halal and haram. What is permissible, not permissible. What is allowed and not allowed. We won't know it if we're going to exclude it from there. So mu'amalat and dealings, utmost importance. If you look at the laws of Quran and Hadith, Quran Sharif, Hadith, the words, Mubarak and blessed words of Nabi Muhammad, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you look at the laws explained there, approximately 75% of the laws pertain to dealings. Husband and wife, relatives, family, business, partnerships, wills, estates, and like that, the list continues. Today, as I said, I highlighted the point of trust deeds. All these have to be in conformity, have to be in pursuance, have to be congruent to the teachings of Quran and Hadith. As I said earlier, brothers, and I'm saying it again, we don't have a choice in the matter. And I'm not saying from my side, I can prove this. I can adduce so many proofs from Quran and Hadith. According to the words of Quran Sharif and the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where there is no choice. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنِ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ إِذَا قَضَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخَيْرُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. There's no choice in the matter. I got a choice, yes or no. It has to be done. So our dealings, utmost importance. Just to touch on this topic, when Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in one hadith, he asks his sahaba, famous hadith, we heard so many times, atadruna manil muflis, about a bankrupt person. Who is a bankrupt person? He asked the sahaba radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with all of them. They replied, man la dirham wa la mata. Worldly terms, bankrupt, no money, no goods, no those things. Worldly items. He turned their attention to the hereafter. Who is a bankrupt person? That person, الَّذِي يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِصَلَاةٍ كَثِيرًا وَصِيَامٍ كَثِيرًا. Day of Qiyamah, he'll stand up in front of Allah. He'll come to Allah, day of resurrection, plenty acts of worship. His prayers, his namaz, his salah, charity, fasting. We can continue the list. The person for Umrah, Dhikr, Tilawah of Quran, Hajj, etc. Good deeds. But regarding the rights of people, shatama hada, taraba hada, akala mala hada, verbally abuse people, physically abuse people, monetarily in terms of his dealings did not pay what his commitments and dues. He thought he got away. Used the most crooked lawyers, changed the name of his companies, did everything crooked in the book, got away possibly in this world. And he made himself such a fool. He thought he got away. In terms of the hereafter, never you can get away. I repeat, in terms of the hereafter, where one day we all have to go in the grave and hereafter, never will he get away. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that person is bankrupt. Why? He gives a full explanation, no time to go into the details. Where the good deeds, the rewards of the good deeds will be taken for whatever the person did and given to the people he did wrong to in terms of his dealings in this world. Once his good deeds, فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُ, no more good deeds, no more reward now left. The sins of those people who he did wrong to will be taken and placed onto his account. As a result, he become completely bankrupt. Zero, minus zero. Nabi Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he'll be taken, being a pious person, outwardly good, etc., etc. He did so much of good charity, etc. In terms of his dealing was minus zero. Be taken, he says the hadith, taken and thrown into Jahannam. Fire of Jahannam. So our dealings, there's a third category. First was our beliefs, acts of worship. Second, dealings. Third, what? Social interaction. Mu'asharah. How we socially interact with people, Muslim, non-Muslim, neighbors, etc. And the last point, akhlaq, character. Very, very important. How we conduct ourselves in daily life with our own wives and husbands at home, own children, parents, relatives, family. Very, very important. I just said, mention two hadith and conclude. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the most weightiest, the most heaviest good deed on the scales on the day of Qiyamah will be al-akhlaqul hasan. Good deeds, good character. All your good deeds, the most weightiest, the most heaviest will be good character. Your namaz and salah will be there, charity will be there, fasting will be there, heavy. But the most heaviest on the scales of your good deeds on the day of Qiyamah would be good character. In one hadith, he explains how a person should live in his life. صِلْ مَنْ قَطَعْكَ وَعْفَ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَى إِلَيْكَ. I conclude with this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he says, صِلْ مَنْ قَطَعْكَ. Somebody breaks family ties, you keep our family ties. That's good character. That is a sunnah. That is a true Muslim. Second, وَعْفَ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ. Somebody oppressed you, you forgive him. How he did in his life so many times. Oppression, but you forgive. Third, أَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَى إِلَيْكَ. Someone did bad to you, you be good to them. This is good character. This is the sunnah. This is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give all of us tawfiq and hidayah, that we be true Muslims in every facet, every walk of our life. Whether it's our beliefs, our acts of worship, our dealings, our social interaction, and our character. وَأَخْرَ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.